forward. And then
I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. Amen. It's a joy to preach God's word. Just before we begin, two quick things. Number one, Faye and I were married 36 years ago yesterday. So we celebrated 36 years of marriage. We're just getting started. So pray for us. And also on Sunday, my granddaughter, 9-year-old granddaughter, my wife led her to the Lord sometime back. They were having some special meetings at the church down in Sierra Vista where she goes, and she got the assurance for salvation. So, all in all, I have had a good week. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, turn to chapter 13 of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13, one of my favorite portions of scripture is Jeremiah 13. It contains the sign of the linen girdle, the sign of the linen girdle. I said it's one of my favorite ones, portion of scripture. And if you want to know, people often ask me, what's my favorite Bible verse? And it's usually the one I'm reading. I love the whole Word of God. And but this story here, this chapter here just does something for me. Jeremiah 13, while you're turning there, let you know, Jeremiah was God's man. He was a prophet. And he was sent to a dying city, basically. He was sent there to announce that Jerusalem would be destroyed if they didn't repent, didn't do what God wanted them to do. And God knew they weren't going to repent. He sent him anyways. And so everybody in every society has an opportunity to be saved. If society goes totally corrupt, that's not an excuse for any individual within that society. God loves individual people, and he sent Jeremiah to minister to folks. And Jeremiah delivered God's words in two ways. He used what we're familiar with, sermons. I'll be preaching tonight, and this will be a sermon. And he also used signs. And these were living object lessons. You know, you probably worked out object lessons if you taught in elementary school and so forth, or in Sunday school to the little kids. You bring a little something and tell a story and wrap it around something that people can see. And this is what he did. But his were living, in that many times he was in them and he would act them out. And so this one here, the chapter 13, is the sign of the linen girdle. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. We pray, God, that you would bless the preaching of your word now. Lord, I pray that it would touch our hearts. Help us, Lord, please, to be receptive to your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you probably don't remember last week when I talked about the Holy Spirit, how you can grieve the Holy Spirit, and how you can quench the Holy Spirit. And so I just wondered, how many of you prayed for me tonight to preach?
Amen.
Well, thank you very much. You don't have to show your hands. Now, how many of you prayed for yourself to receive the preaching?
Amen.
See, it takes both. You need to pray for the man of God. You know, every Sunday, you ought not walk in that church out over there with Brother Dawson when he's out there preaching, however it goes. When he's over there preaching, you ought not go in there without having prayed for the man of God.
Yes.
But folks, you need to pray for yourself that you would receive the message. Look, a radio, there's two things. There has to be a signal sent, has to be a transmitter. There also has to be a receiver. And for the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart, the message has to be transmitted. Somebody has to bring it. But we have to receive it. So we need to be praying for both sides. I just throw that in. That's free. I don't have anything to do with the message tonight. But I like to tie things together, you know, from last week. All right? So here we got Jeremiah in chapter 13. And let's go ahead and read, begin with verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass, after many days, that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates, and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah, and the great pride of Jerusalem. Now, the story is very simple. God told Jeremiah to do something. You know what he did? He did it. I like that. Amen. And he told him to get a girdle and put it on his body, wear it next to him, next to his body, and don't wash it. Now, teenagers might not have a problem with that. Teenage boys might not have a problem with that, but boy, I would after a while. Can you imagine wearing something for a month? not washing it. That's an ugly thought, isn't it? Anyway, so he wore that, and he wore it, and he was specifically told not to wash it. Then God told him, go over to Euphrates and bury it in the ground over there. Now, folks, that's approximately a 500-mile journey. They didn't have Amtrak. They didn't have automobiles. He walked or he rode a donkey or mule or camel or some other smelly animal, 500 miles and buried it. He went back home. How did I know that? Because in the next verse it said to go again. So, and take the girdle thou hast gathered upon thy loins, arise, go Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded. Verse 6, and it came to pass after many days, as the Lord commanded, arise, go to Euphrates. He wouldn't have sent him back to Euphrates if he was there. So he had gone home. Okay, 500 over, 500 back. All right, any math majors in there? Pretty simple so far. That's 1,000 miles. Go back a second time. 500, 1,500, 2,000 miles. That's a long way to travel in those days. It's a long way to travel today. And he did that gladly. And he did it instantly. God said, go. So you know what the next verse says? So I went. God said, go. So I went. God said, do, so I did. And folks, there's a key for us to be learned right there, in that we need to learn to be instant in our obedience to God. Yes. And sometimes I obey God. Sometimes I don't obey God. Sometimes I obey God, but I kind of drag my feet. If you've had kids, you know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Clean your room, okay? You know, about the fourth time your folks told you to clean your room, what's happening, all right? And so the idea is that we need to obey God instantly. And when God spoke to Jeremiah, he had no problem going back there. He immediately went as he was commanded. And if you would turn to John 14:15 in the New Testament, we can see this principle as stated by our Lord and Savior. John 14 and verse number 15. I wrote down the wrong verse here. Let me see here. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. So we're talking about loving God. Oh, verse 15. Verse 15 is the other verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the Lord is simply saying here that if you love him, then you should keep his commandments. Well, we just come off of we started the 2018 missions giving, but we just come off of the program. And giving should not be hard if you love the Lord. Now, there's going to be a limit out there. You know, if you give away 100% of your money, you're not going to have anything to eat. Okay? You're not going to pay your bills, and that would be a bad testimony. Okay? But if there's a need for God's work, then giving is just a reflection of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Church attendance is what? You know, the people that don't come to church on a regular basis, can I be so bold? They don't love the Lord the way they should.
That's right.
Because if they loved the Lord, they would love coming to his house to hear a man of God preach about him.
That's right.
And so our obedience is showing our love for Christ. And yeah. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jeremiah evidently loved God because instantly, 500 miles, that's 1,000 miles round trip. Okay, boom. Gets back home. God says, go back. Boom. He did it. Okay.
Amen.
At first, he put the thing on and wore it for I don't know how long, you know, that smelly thing, and kept it on. Jeremiah loved God, and I hope that I would love God enough to keep his commandments. Now, to keep his commandments is more than just to do. You know how it is. You tell your children to do something, and they do exactly that and no more. Okay? Or maybe try to smudge the line and not quite do all. But they don't do anything extra. The word keep there means to attend to carefully. It's not a casual observance of God's word and And therefore, when it comes to my mind, to my memory, I hear a message about it, I'll remember to give to the missionaries, or I will remember to tell the truth, or remember to be faithful to the Lord's house. I will obey God in this area most of the time. No, it is careful. And I get accused, every godly man who preaches the word of God gets accused of being a legalist. Because we believe in principled living. You know what principled living means? It doesn't matter what the calendar says. You're going to do Sunday, you go to church. Okay? It doesn't matter what the world says. You're going to give to missions. It doesn't matter. You go to your accountant and maybe having a little bit of financial problem. You know the first thing what the accountant's going to tell you to do? Quit tithing. I've never heard an accountant say anything like that. There may be some Christians accountant out there that I, you know. But I hear this all the time. People go to seek counsel and they see how much they're giving. You can't give that. You've got all these debts. And they tell them to quit. No, it's not a casual observance of God's law. If it's convenient, I will do the things God tells me to do. If it's inconvenient, I won't. No, it is careful to attend. Now, legalism is when that word gets bounced around so much. Legalism is really and truly when you are trying to earn your salvation by keeping the law. We're way past that. We know that can't be done. Yeah. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. But because we love the Lord, we're going to keep His commandments.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? And so it is being careful to pay attention to make sure that I am doing what God tells me to do. It's not just a casual hit or miss observance of the law, of God's word, but I'm truly trying with all my heart to obey the Lord and to do as He tells me to do. And this is what Jeremiah did. Now he went to the river there finally, and when he went to retrieve the girdle, it was profitable for nothing. Now, this is a sign. It's an object, a living object lesson. So that means each ingredient in our story has a purpose. Now, in this story, Jeremiah represents God. Okay? And the girdle represents God's people. The girdle being buried 500 miles away from where Jeremiah was residing, who Jeremiah, remember, was picturing God. That represents the consequences of sin in the life of the Christian, in the life of the believer. So it would do us well to be reminded, you already know this, but to be reminded of the fact that God has two major desires for His people. One, God wants His people to be close to Him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
You read in the New Testament, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee. God wants us to be close to Him. God commanded Jeremiah to wear the girdle next to his body. In other words, nothing was to come between the girdle and Jeremiah. You know what? Nothing is supposed to come between God and His people. You know, in the Bible, New Testament, God tells us to lay aside every weight. You know that a weight is not necessarily a sin. A weight is something that can become sin if it becomes between you and God. And a weight is something that God has not specifically prohibited. Okay? God has specifically prohibited lying. You tell a lie, you're breaking God's law. God has specifically prohibited adultery. You commit adultery, you have sinned against God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, all right? God has specifically commanded us to be faithful to His house. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more so as we see the day approaching. To not do that is to violate God's law. But you know, there are some things in life that aren't really clear. God's not really all that clear about. For instance, God didn't tell me which house to buy. Well, I think I got this leading in the purchase when I did own a house. And I believe God led us to the right place, the place He wanted. But that took a little bit of working. But I searched that Bible. I didn't see by 4040 South Kino. I did not see that in there. That's going to take walking with God. To walk with God, you have to be close to God. But there are some things that are weights, you know, that would trouble some people. Some people, now look, okay. I'm not a vegetarian, all right? I believe I have a Bible verse that teaches that God's not a vegetarian either. And you do realize, brother, you know, you know Nebuchadnezzar? Mm-hmm. When he went insane, he became a vegetarian. Isn't that right? He knows what I'm talking about. What did he do? He went out in the field. He ate grass. He went insane. He became a vegetarian. I'm not a vegetarian. Some of you are a little slow on the uptake there, but you get the idea, right? Okay? Now, is it wrong to be a vegetarian? In my opinion, yes, but actually no. I cannot prove it from the Bible, all right? Maybe we eat way too much meat. I'll grant you that, right? However, it's not specifically dictated. In fact, didn't the Bible said whatsoever you eat, as long as you give thanks to God, that'd be okay? And the sin comes in, the error comes in, when somebody takes that to extreme, that becomes a hindrance. And so I invite you over to my house. Now, don't do what I did. We had Matthew, was born at home. We used midwife and a couple of our sons. And Matthew was born at home. And the midwife spent the night and everything. And so I got up in the morning and cooked breakfast. I mean, I cooked the typical breakfast. Bacon and eggs. And I offered my midwife some breakfast. And she says, no, I'll just have coffee. I'm sitting down there. We get talking. I forgot. She was a Jew. And I offered her bacon. Dumb, right? I own it. I'm dumb. But the point being, there's really nothing wrong with bacon. But if you think there is something wrong with bacon, and then you eat it, that will be a sin to you. Even though, for the Christian, bacon's okay. God has allowed us to eat that. I thank God that he allowed us to eat bacon. I mean, the best food on the planet is bacon. Okay? But here's the thing. It would be sin for you to eat the bacon if you truly thought that that bacon meat was bad for you. And because you think it's bad for you, or rather because you think it's bad for you, does not give you the right to condemn me who eats bacon. I give grace to God and I thank God for it. You give grace for the grass that you eat. Okay? And that's fine. And I'm not going to condemn you. Well, I might make fun of you, but I'm not going to condemn you, you know, if you're a vegetarian. I will not do that. That's a weight. But a weight can become sin if you allow it to. You're going to have to walk with God so that you can find your happy medium, the place where God wants you to live a certain lifestyle. He's got a lot of commands. If you just follow those, you'll be fine. But he'll get into the details with you alone in prayer. And that's all I'm trying to say tonight. Is that he wants you to be close so you can know his will for you. Okay, I know God's will for me. I do not know God's will for your life. Now, how close is your relationship to God? Now we're going to get to preaching. Just how close is it? Well, you know what? It can be just as close as you want it to be. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to thee. James 4:8. God always responds to any attempt on his people to get close to him. Unfortunately, there are some Christians, they don't care how close they are to God. In fact, they don't want to get too close because you know what God does then? He messes with their lives. Out sowing, we're knocking doors. The house I hate the worst to walk up to is a house, there's an RV, there's a trailer, there's two quads, four motorcycles. You get the idea? You know what that guy does on Sundays? Mm-hmm. He's not in church. It's all about, and the boat. Who in Arizona would go on a bass boat? I have no idea. Are you nuts? Okay, it's 100 miles from the closest lake. And they put two fishing boats on it. It's full. I don't get it. But anyway, you know what I mean. You can see that, and you know that those folks are too busy on Sunday for God. You know, some Christians are that way. They're just too busy for God. Amen. I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying if you are, then you need to get unbusy. And we need to get close to God. Some people have no concern about how close they get to God. But you know what? If Jesus was willing to go to the cross for you and me, and he was, then we ought to be willing to live for him.
Amen.
There's some people who want to be close to God, but, you know, only so close. Lord, I would be there Sunday, but, you know, there's this football game on. I know no basketball fans would miss the church, right? You know, they want God to be important in their life. They want God to be one of the most important things in their lives, but they don't want God to be the most important thing in their lives. And, you know, as long as God doesn't take the place of the thing that I love the most, he can be as close to me as he wants. What a pathetic attitude. Yeah. But there are folks like that. And then some people want to be really super close to God part of the time. Part of the time. You know, like when it comes down to teaching your Sunday school class, you want God with you then, don't you? Well, how about Saturday night? Where were you? What were you doing? I'm just asking questions. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just asking a few questions, you know. Sometimes we want God's closeness so we can get his blessing, so we get his power. You know, that's a terrible way to treat God. You know. I said we've been married 36 years. Thank God. The greatest, after my salvation, the greatest day in my life was when God brought Faye Elizabeth McDonald into my life. It really and truly was. And what a blessing it is to be married to such a woman. But can you imagine, gentlemen, if you were, go back to your early days when you were married and your wife said to you, or your new bride said to you, you know, honey, I sure love our house. I love the car you bought me. I love the allowance you give me. You know, I sure love that vacation. I love that honeymoon we went on. In fact, I love them more than you. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here because you provide them. And now, how many Christians treat God that way?
Yeah.
Now, how do you think you would feel, gentlemen, if your bride said that to you? See, don't expect God to pop in and out of your life. Because what's going to happen is, you treat God that way, one of these days he's going to come, you're going to meet him, he's going to pop in. And God doesn't want to have a casual hit or miss relationship with us. He wants us to be close all the time. And that's what God wants for us, to be close to him, closer than anyone else, and be there all the time. He hates being treated like a genie in the bottle. Tyrell got me a drink of water. God bless you, son. Thank you very much. He got me this. Imagine this was a bottle, and you could rub it, and God would pop out, and you could ask God, you know, kind of like, give me 3 wishes, okay? And ixnay on asking for more wishes, 3, and no. No, it's not that way. It's, imagine if God was the genie in the bottle. Okay, God, I need this. And then we put him out of our life, and three days later, oh, God, my car's breaking down. Can you get the engine fixed? Oh, thank you, Lord. And then we go on, we leave God out of it. And Sunday morning, oh, God, I need you to help me teach my Sunday school. God pops up, and you teach the Sunday school class. And then it's 2 weeks go by. Oh, God, they're laying people off at work. Please don't let me be one of them. Oh, I don't get laid off. Imagine what God must feel like when we treat him that way. Do you like being treated that way? I don't like being treated that way. And yet, here's we do this all the time to God. And what a terrible, terrible indignation. The shame that must be on us. See, God wants us to be close all the time.
Amen.
And secondly, I hope I have enough time to wrap this up, at least get the introduction done. God wants the believers, God wants us to be clean in our living. Mm. He didn't wash the girdle. Why? Because it's to represent the picture of sin for the nation of Judah. They had allowed their lives to become filthy with sin. And what dirt is to the body, sin is to the soul. Judah was filthy, and many of our lives are filthy if we would be honest. At least some Christians' lives are filthy. You see, the girdle became dirty because of daily use. If Jeremiah did nothing other than wear the girdle, didn't go out in the field to work, didn't just, you know, took it easy, chilled out around the house all day long, that girdle would still become dirty just by daily use. And we're walking through a sin-cursed world, my friend. I was watching something that supposed to be a decent show, you know, and then all this, poo, this pops up. Oh, man, drives me insane, you know. Driving down the road and they don't have a lot of billboards around here, but in certain parts of the country, they have a lot of billboards. And you're just minding your own business, you know, whistling Victory in Jesus or something. And then, giant 20-foot letters, you know, filth on the side of the road, and thoughts come into your mind. Or you go to the store, and that old music, brother, is that's what they play in there. And it traps it gets in your mind once again, and the thoughts come flooding back. Just daily use, it gets our lives get dirty. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, not only does God, does every believer sin, but we do it on a daily basis. Folks, I can sin 3 times from the time I close my Bible, leave this pulpit, and get to the car with my mind.
Yes.
And so just by daily use, our life becomes dirty with sin. It became filthy, though, not because it got dirty. It became filthy because it wasn't washed. It wasn't washed. And what God demands... Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't crucify me. God does not demand sinlessness. He knows we can't be. Our sin still grieves God. It's still sin. Don't misunderstand me. He definitely wants us to cut back on it. We need his help. But when we do sin, we need to confess it to the Lord. Okay? And so the girdle became filthy because it wasn't washed. And the way we wash it is by confession of sin. If we confess our sins, his faithful and just forgives our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, confession results in more than forgiveness. It cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. And that word confess, it does not mean just to acknowledge. Tyrell, would you come here, please, real quick? Hurry. Come here. You're a good guy. I don't know. Should have picked somebody smaller than him, but come over here. Okay? Now, I'm not going to hurt you.
Okay.
And you won't get upset with me, will you? Because he's bigger than I am. Okay? And so, Tyrell, you know what? You are one ugly dude. Yeah. And I hit him. Now, pretend that I really meant it. Pretend just for a moment I meant it. And then I would come back and say, Tyrell, you know I hit you. And did I confess? No. I acknowledged the fact that I sinned against my brother, that I lied against my brother, that I told a story about my brother, that I betrayed my brother. Okay. Now, I demonstrated just by calling my name and hitting him. Okay? Hey, I like it. That's fine. Here's the thing. True confession means to agree with. If I say, hey, Tyrell, if I ever did anything to offend you, forgive me. Now, did I confess my sin?
No.
What do you mean? If I just hit him. To agree with means to acknowledge that, yes, I did the sin, and the sin was wrong, and it was all mine. Okay? Thank you, brother. You're a good kid. Be nice to him, because in another 5 years he's going to on top of the head, you know. To confess our sins, and I'm done with this. I won't get all the way through. But I got 2 more weeks, I think, on Wednesday nights, and we just get into the story. Here's the thing. To confess your sins, don't be in such a hurry to just name them off. You know, many times, how many times have you prayed, God forgive me that I told a lie to my brother or my sister? God forgive me that I did this wrong today? Mm-hmm. God forgive me that I did this wrong? No, it means stop. Pray more like this. I don't do it right either. But maybe this will help somebody out. And say, Father, forgive me for lying to my brother Tyrell. Forgive me, Lord, that I am such a lousy person that I harbor lying in my heart and I acted upon that lying. Father, I would not have told that lie if I wasn't a liar in my heart. Forgive me for what I am, Lord, as well as for what I did. Agree with God. Agree with him. Confess. Confess our sins. And then real quick, we also have the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then Paul again says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So the way that we get our girdle clean, the way we get our lives clean, is we don't allow sin to go unconfessed, and then we have to spend time in God's word daily. Not 6 chapters today, none tomorrow, daily in God's word. Amen. Brother White.
Well, amen. Appreciate that for tonight. Something that we can surely take home and meditate on and get some things right with the Lord so that we can walk and stay close to him. Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements we do want to make. I think the young people will be practicing next door there for their performance on Sunday. So be in prayer for our Patch Club as they perform on Sunday. Also, again, continue to pray for our pastor. The recovery will continue to go well. And remember, tomorrow at 3:30, they will be removing the stitches. So hopefully everything is going well then. And they'll be removing. He'll probably still, as Dawson was saying, probably still have to have a cast put on. So we just pray that the healing is taking place and those things will work out. And that they'll take good care of him. And we look forward to him getting well. Also, Saturday, we have door knocking here. We'll be here at 9:30. Also, if you would like to help out with stuffing some of the jackets with the flyers that we're going to pass out on Saturday, inviting people out to the Easter service. Easter's just right around the corner, and it is the first Sunday of April, and in April the 1st is the first Sunday in April. So be in prayer about that. You can come out and help us saturate the community here right close by here near the church. We greatly appreciate it. And there are some out in the foyer if you'd like to help us out by getting those put in the jackets for Saturday. But the caveat is to bring them back Saturday so we can have them for passing out. And that will be greatly, greatly appreciated that we can have that. So those are the things that are in the immediate thing to happen for our services and also for the church. And we pray that you would help us out by being here on Saturday to do that. All right. Well, let's close in prayer. And tonight we go out here and go out to this week and take those things to heart that were said tonight. Good lesson and share with us tonight, Brother Neil. And we're looking forward to the other Wednesday nights as you continue to finish it up. Amen. And it has been a blessing. Well, let's stand our feet and we will close in a word of prayer. And we are be dismissed after we do pray all for tonight. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessing. God, we thank you for the privilege that we had to be in your house tonight. We thank you for the encouragement that we get from Jeremiah tonight, Lord, and how that we need to keep our hearts and our lives pure, that we can walk with you, Lord, we do the things that will be pleasing to you because we love you, and we will keep your commandments because we love you and allow you to work in our lives. Again, we pray for your safety, guidance, direction, and as we leave here tonight, pray you bring us back Saturday to pass off the flyers. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that you will prepare the hearts of those that will be recipients of it, that we will see them come here on Sunday, or see them come out on Easter Sunday, and what a blessing that would be, Lord, that you would work in that way. And we do pray again for our pastor, continue to raise him up. Be with us now as we go out tonight. Bless now, I pray, and pray for Brother Neil and his wife for celebrating their 36 years together. I pray that again, it has been a special time, and I know that she is dear to his heart. But again, we love you and praise you and ask all of these things now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. 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 I don't know if he turned that on. There's too much. Oh,